That was why we had all those troubles. I'm sure God wasn't angry. You know why? He knew we were children. You know the way children behave? He knew we were children, that we will grow up. And when we grow up, we will learn what to use faith for. And you see, I'm going to discuss that if I have the time, talking about the matter of prayer. I want to use prayer for as an example. All right? What to use faith for, let me talk about that, is to do this work of God on the earth. You see the point I'm making in a moment, talking about the matter of prayer and faith. What we really use faith for is to execute God's judgment. Are you getting the point I'm making? There is a faith for your provisions. That one is basic. I like to say this. Jesus actually told his disciples, we don't realize it, that when they come to pray, they were not supposed to make food a serious prayer point. You know what he said? After these things, the Gentiles seek. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, when you want to start prayer, let me make it like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Thank you very much. Now, let's talk about serious matters. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Because, a lot of prayer points that Christians pray today, they are Gentilish prayers. Amen. The next prayer point. You will speak to the devil. You will not touch my money anymore. My money that you have taken, you will bring it back. Prayer. People will pray. After 5 minutes, the pastor will ring the bell. Ah, you think we have prayed? We have not prayed. You will speak to beans. Be on my table. Gary, be on my table. Yam, don't depart from here. Speak to your food. Then we'll begin to pray. Oh, we'll finish. Wait. Tonight is the end of poverty. Tonight is the end of hunger. Amen. This is what? Night vigil. They are kidnapping in Anambra State. And the guy is from Oka. He has not remembered. His mother lives in the village. He doesn't remember that. No, he doesn't remember that. In fact, this church where he's doing prayer warrior, so he had to lock the gate with a titanium chain. He has not prayed about that. Say, today is the last day I will be naked. God, you will give me fine clothes. Then people will pray. They will pray a whole night. When they wake up, when they finish in the morning, they are going back home. That's what Jesus said. These were the prayers of Gentiles. After these things, the Gentiles seek. He said, you spend your time seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you will find food more than you ever can eat. You will find clothes more than you will ever be able to wear. And there is nothing that you need that will not be supplied. They gave Solomon an opportunity. Ask for anything. The man sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He had more gold than any king before him or after him. Gold was so much in Israel. Nobody bothered to trade in silver. You understand what I'm saying? In Israel, get what I'm saying. The nation was prosperous. The nation was so prosperous that if you dropped silver on the road, it was not worth people's time to steal it. prosperity. That's the way it is. just to make you laugh. Once, when I was in MD Anderson Cancer Center, I asked the primary secretary, there was this pen we used to write on slides. Very nice pen, never saw it before, we used to write on slides. So, I went to meet the secretary, whether I could have one so I can use to mark my slides. So he said, that next time I should just walk into the store, that this is where they keep it. That if I need anything, stationery, paper, pen, jotters, anything. I remember in my mind, I laughed. Even in Nigeria. When you go home and your son says, Daddy, they said we should bring pen in school. You come to the office, collect some. People will so collect all the pen and paper and everything that after a while, they will put padlock there. You now have to start signing that you collected a pen and they'll be issuing pen one every month to each pathologist working. And I thought to myself, the way the printer is just there, you want to print anything, this is what they call prosperity. Are you getting what I'm saying? That this is prosperity, that paper is not, they don't expect anybody to steal paper and pen. You are getting what I'm not explaining. Yes, that's how it was in Israel. The people were so prosperous that things like that, nobody bothered. Nobody bothered. Solomon sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's the amount of prosperity he downloaded for Israel. But we make those things a full night's prayer points. I call them Gentilish prayers. We learn how to pray properly. We all know how to grumble properly. You know, we are master grumblers, master complainers, master analysts.
I don't know what is wrong with these courts in Nigeria. You put a case there, they keep on adjourning for the next 15 years, nothing has happened.
Yes. You know, do you know the judges still write in longhand? That is why the thing takes forever. They still write in longhand. Oh, this is our country. Everybody is so useless. You know that. In fact, you know, yesterday I was crossing the road. The car did not even stop. Ah, we abuse ourselves morning till night. Said, children, let us pray. Father, guide us, keep us as we want to sleep, and provide our food for tomorrow morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I will go to sleep. Listen to me. This is your assignment as believers. We'll get there and explain these things in details. Anything, oh God, how do I say this? Let me quickly say it simply like this, then we'll analyze it further later. Anything that you observe that is wrong, speak a word in two directions. One to God about it and directly at the situation. You hear what I said? One, you utter a word. You know, we grumble all the time.
Houses are very expensive. Land is difficult to come by. How can they sell one plot of land for 10 million naira? These people are rogues, man.
If they gave you your own, you'll sell for 12, but let's not talk. Listen, let me tell you the truth. I have thought seriously about this, and God has helped me with that every day. Money is nothing. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's not to be worshipped, it's not to be served, it's not to be sought after. Believe me. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. I learned all the time when I preach. When I started teaching part-time at Newi, my prof then, much senior to me, old enough to be my father, a colleague, senior colleague, he begged me. In fact, he didn't beg. Because begging didn't work. He instructed me. I didn't know how to refuse that one. He said, Banky, you know, you please apply for this post as a manager. I said, okay, I can't be driving to Newi. He said, no, it's not so difficult. He just come give a few lectures. He explained all his problems. He was the only person. I said, sir, it's difficult. He said, okay, don't worry, be thinking about it, but let me have your CV anyway, be thinking about it. Okay, write an application while you are thinking about it. I couldn't refuse, so I did. And then, finally, he said, okay, the appointment letter, because he was a big man, he quickly moved the thing. He said, okay, I have appointed you now as a part-time lecturer in the College of Medicine there. So one day I went, with this on paperwork, I told him, okay, see how much they said they are going to pay. The money was so annoying. If I one day my car spot on the road, it was about the amount of money I used to fix it. So I told him, okay, this kind of thing is not good. He said, no, we'll talk to them. So we talked to them and nothing came out of it. In fact, somebody almost looked at him like, say, my friend, manage it. If you can't manage it, go to hell. Something like that. Hey! And they look, okay, now they put this kind of salt for man, but you. But not. Then one day, one prof said, maybe you should offer services to the hospital. Then that will increase the amount. Because he was a senior also, a prof. I didn't say anything in my mind. Okay, do I look like a man who wants to live a short life or a long life? Look at me. I'm going to be working in the hospital in Newi. You want me to die? Giving lectures is bad enough. You now go start working. I didn't even say anything. Now, cut a long story short. For a long time, I was very displeased. And I told my wife something one day. That I began to interact with the students. Now, I'm coming to something. Now I understand that I don't do that job for money. That's what I'm trying to, that's what I'm coming to. I found that it was an avenue to interact with another set of people. That's how I look at it now. Gone are the days, because I'm not looking at something. I mean, for all the hassle, listen to me, if I was looking for money, I don't do private practice, I don't. If I was looking for money, I would do it in this town, and I would make 10 times that amount of money without sweating, without having to travel up and down. I would sweat some extra because I would work some more. But I have other things to do with my time. But I realized something. I said that that is just a door that God opened for me to interact with some other sets of people. This is not bragging. I know I have blessed my students there. Not just with teaching them pathology. There are small comments you pass in which you infuse faith into the hearts of people. But God knows how He does things. If He did not make us work for money, all right, we wouldn't work. So sometimes, God puts the supply for our needs in a place where He wants us to minister. I don't know whether you get the point I'm making. Is that you? If I had made your father a multimillionaire and he left money for you, you would be, you know these Americans? You know, prosperity is a dangerous thing. Do you know why Bill Clinton started American Visa Lottery? Do you know why? Now, have you ever thought about it? Americans close their door, you look for a visa, they go give you. No. Then why did they start giving out 50-something thousand visas? Immigrant visas, green cards, every year. They started that thing in 1993, thereabout. 93-94. All right? More than 10 years, they have been giving 50-something thousand visas every year. About almost 20 years. In that 4 or 5 years, so 20 years. Why? I'll tell you. Because people like Bill Clinton looked, and the typical American has become a useless man. A useless young man, the generations. I'm telling you. You know what happens? You know, read a lot of, like Robert Kiyosaki titled a book, Retire Young, Retire Rich. That title is supposed to sell the book. That's the aim. But it gives you the concept in the minds of the people. Their own is that make $1 million, then retire. Paul Getty, who became the richest man in the world in his time, at the age of 20-something, he made about $2 million. He walked up to his father and his mother that, now, I can retire. His father looked at him like, what? He said, yes, I have made my money. You know their aim? The idea now is that, I have made money. I can now start enjoying. So, that's why they go on what they call, when they look for what they call the adrenaline rush. The man wake up in the morning. What's the next thing we should do? Let's climb Mount Everest. He didn't lose anything on Mount Everest. People have climbed Mount Everest before him. Climbing Mount Everest will not improve his life or do anything to him. But he's so purposeless, he has to find something. They told me once, I was watching yesterday on TV, that one 17-year-old boy just finished circumnavigating the earth in a boat, alone. He started when he was 16. I said, it's not his fault. He said, and they look at us like, we can't achieve anything, but young people should know that you can do it. I said, go around the world. You obviously are not hungry. Your father has money. You don't have to go to school and help your younger ones. That's your problem. What am I looking for on the Google Earth? Satellites are there. They've mapped the whole ocean for me. What am I looking for? You go for bungee jumping. Why do I want to jump so that I will think I want to die? Listen, my friend, I have too many. I'm not taking any unnecessary risk with my life. What rubbish. I have a wife, I have 4 children, I have multitudes who are listening to my gospel. I'm going to say, let me see whether the train can go up or go down. Listen, my friend, go your way. I have to go and preach. I don't have time for all this rushing for adrenaline. And those are the nice people, though. The bad ones, why should you go for adrenaline rush? Buy the adrenaline and jab it in the needle. Cocaine. You know the same for movie? It's purposelessness. That's what prosperity does to people. What people like Bill Clinton found out was that, you see these Africans, these Asians, these Eastern Europeans, the quest for real survival is still hot in their body. Give them a visa, they will make America great. No, that's what they do. That's why Americans just, look, the British will do what they call the highly skilled immigrants. Americans, they don't want your skill necessarily. Just show up, because after you win the visa lottery, they will interview you. Just look like either you have a good degree or you can work. You don't need to have a high degree. Go to at least a secondary school. When you get there, they look at you. If you, what can you do? Tell them, look, I'm a motor mechanic. I can dismantle an engine and couple it back. That's it. You're going. You know the reason? Because they know when you get there. Oh boy, No, Nigerians not they lazy for a meal. My brother-in-law told me that, look, the companies would rather hire a Nigerian than hire a black American. Because the black American, Friday, he's going home. Yeah, you can't persuade him to stay. TGIF. But you tell the Nigerian, say, I bet work day tomorrow, overtime, okay now. So, and overtime rate is double that of normal rate. Come on, papa day for house, mama day for house. I no go do overtime. What kind of nonsense? In fact, on Sunday morning, you go send a note to pastor. Pastor, I beg, I day busy, I will tithe on the morning, no worry. Oh, the Lord is good. Please, I'm going to explain something. Is that drive that this man, Bill Clinton and Co., saw that we, a lot of us still have, that people who have grown up in prosperous places don't have anymore? That's why they started giving out those visas. Now, why am I talking about this? A lot of us, all right, we won't do anything, okay, except God really hides our source of supply behind the work he gave us. I hope you are following the point. Otherwise, with him, money is nothing. With God, money is nothing. I want you to understand this. Actually, the jobs he has given us in life is actually our ministry field for him. Please, I hope you are hearing what I'm saying. What God did with those things, okay, go and work here, go and work there, is so that while doing that, you will do the real ministry of life for him. That is why. Please, stop changing jobs anyhow, like your life doesn't have a purpose. Today, you are a banker. Tomorrow, you are in telecoms. The following that day, you are now a politician. Now you have retired from all of this. Now you are now in private business. What exactly are you doing? When we get money, we will find something. You should know that you are not all right mentally. The next piece I'm doing on radio is titled The Power of Identity. I'm going to discuss that one in details. One of the things in life you must locate is what exactly, who am I and what am I? There's a difference. You understand my point? You are a child of God. You have been redeemed in Christ Jesus. You are above. You are not beneath. All those things. That's what I'm by. Who am I? But what am I? What am I known by? When they name Bezalel in the Bible, everybody knows the craftsman. Do you get my point? Paul, the apostle. Do you understand what I'm saying? As soon as they mention the name, all right, a trade, a profession, something comes forth with the name. You mention Elijah, prophet. You don't think twice about it. You don't know Paul for tent making. It's interesting today. They asked my wife took my son to go and get his passport. I know they interview you. They asked the boys, where does the father work? He said his name is Pastor Banky. Do you know that? When she told me, I laughed. Now, Akinu is a very smart kid. He's a very smart, he's very, very smart. That he did not know I worked in the hospital was surprising. As I was going to say, the guy is a pastor. All these people are saying. Now, please, I'm bringing out something. But that the real thing, actually, that God ordained is that wherever he puts you, that you think it's your source of livelihood, it's actually not the source of livelihood. The truth is that God is the source. Where he has placed you is where he's building you up. Now, listen to this. You will drink your cup along the line. You will be baptized with some terrible baptisms, so that one day you'll be able to wield power as one on the right hand of God. That's why you can't be jumping anyhow around in life. A lot of people, spiritually, nothing. That is, they are so empty. When God blows like this, they don't go like balloon, they go like bubble. No weight. They can't take any suffering. You walk in this bank today, tomorrow, the other one offers a higher pay. Boom! You are there. They just jump from one place to the other. Listen, money is nothing. Let me tell you now, money is what? Nothing. You don't make decisions anyhow because of money. You won't have any weight before God. You don't know it is important before God for you to be able to say in your soul that they said we should move over there and they'll be paying us 10,000 we are earning now. But God, there are serious things to do, so we have stayed here. Listen, my friend. A lot of us think that potency of prayer is increased by hunger. Arrant rubbish. Nonsense. You think it's your hunger that makes your prayer more powerful? Rubbish. I'll tell the truth. What makes your prayer powerful is the suffering you have suffered for his sake. Did you hear what I said? What makes your prayer powerful is the suffering that you have suffered for his sake. Just sit at home. Tomorrow we want to pray. So, we won't eat. Listen, that hunger, you may as well be a Buddhist. You see, Pastor Bang, listen, my friend. Fasting is not meant to increase the potency of prayer. It is used to concentrate on seeking the face of God. I've always told Christians, they make me laugh. Say, we are fasting. As you are fasting, in front of the mirror. My wife, please, is my shoe there, please. Let me bring it out. Thank you. Tell my driver to wait. We are fasting now. Say, what about your breakfast? You know we are fasting now. All right, okay. All right, where's my briefcase? All right. I see later. You go for a board meeting. You argue in the board meeting. You're in the office, running up and down. Say, okay, so after the board meeting, they serve tea or, you know, snacks. Say, no, I'm fasting. I really can't eat. Hear me. That's nonsense. What did I say? Nonsense. Rubbish. If you know you are going for a board meeting, bros, take that slice of bread, chop them, drink that glass of Milo, whatever they give you, and go to work. When you finish the discussion in the office, if they serve tea, drink it. See, what are you saying? If indeed you were fasting, you were not supposed to be in that board meeting that morning. If you can get up and go for the meeting, you may as well eat the food. I'll give you advice. If you really have to do serious fasting like that, do it weekend, Saturday morning. No wedding, nothing today. Wake up early, grab a Bible. Either you are doing it alone, or if it is you and your wife, just lock yourself somewhere. And finish before this, your children wake up. I'm serious. Because if it's the kind of children I have, when they look around, when they suspect you inside that study, oh, Barry, open the door now. Oh, daddy now. Even the Holy Spirit will depart from you by the time. But then they are through with harassing you. Are you getting my point? I'm not looking at something. What you use that for is actually to focus on spiritual things. To grab your Bible, to grab a message. If you don't want to, if you can't study like that, take a message, put it in the CD, and settle down there and hear it. When you finish, you pray. You table the matter before God and meditate. As you are meditating, the Holy Spirit will put thoughts in your mind. Sometimes you will fall asleep later and have a dream. Other times, a friend will see you afterwards and talk to you. As soon as he finished talking to you, you know God has just sent an answer. That's what you use prayer for, not to increase the potency of prayer. The reason why, that's what you use fasting for, thank you. The reason why that fasting may be good for your prayer afterwards, that when you come forth with good understanding, next time you pray, your prayer will actually have serious meaning. Listen, the hunger has absolutely nothing to do with the potency. It is a concentration on the Spirit of God that's the matter. Able to discern the mind of God. Look, because the world, the life is full of distractions. That's what I want to understand. It's full of distraction. So that period of Christian fasting is for waiting on God, not for going hungry. Listen, food will be a distraction at that time. That's why it is excluded. Including watching television. Including chatting on the phone. Including calling your business partners. Quench your phone. Any business that won't come before you start, should come after. And if it will not come in any of these two places, it's not your own. But that's not my main discussion. My main discussion is what really increases the potency of your prayer. They are the sacrifices you made for God. All men are not equal before God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hear it clearly. Everybody is not equal. And I've said it before. It is not the man that holds the microphone that is more powerful before God. It is the man who God brings to serious positions in life. And God says, go left or go right. Now listen to me. Right, that if he goes to the right, he will be correct. If he goes to the left, physically speaking, he will be correct. Are you hearing me? There's no sin in any of the two. But then he will now look. That's, you see, his babies that say, is this one sinful, this one righteous? No. There are times in which both roads are righteous. Doctrinally speaking, they are righteous. I mean, take a job that they pay you X amount of money in a month, or take the one they pay you 10 times that other one. Both of them are good. Now God now puts people to the test. Say, now, why are you taking this one? Why are you taking this one? Or why are you not taking the other? That's when God really puts men to test. Let me tell you the truth. In life, you will get to a point in which you will look at money like this. You will want to cry, but you will make a decision that will make you lose money. Let me prophesy to some people today. I have to close. Listen, my message today is no longer titled The Cup and the Baptism. It's titled The Right Hand. Because I have not talked about the cup and the baptism, and my time is already up. What I'm about to say, I brought this paper because I printed some things that Oswald Chambers said, talking about how Adam was supposed to convert what he called the innocent, all right, to that which is holy. He was supposed to convert that which is natural to that which is spiritual. He said Adam was not a holy man, he was an innocent man. But God wanted him to convert that which was innocent to that which was holy. We'll discuss that one next time. And he said he was going to do that by a series of choices. Now, I wanted to quote last time. So this time around, I located the stuff, printed it out on this paper so that I'll be able to read it. But I didn't get there. But I have to stop because I told you I'm going somewhere. I'm kind of in a hurry, all right? But so, let's just leave today's message as the right hand. The next time we'll talk about the cup and the baptism. But this is the point I'm making. There are times, there are places you will get to in life and you will make some dangerous decisions. Let me tell you the truth. I don't believe that anybody is returning from America to come and change Nigeria. I don't believe it. The men who will really change Nigeria are the ones who have suffered under the things you have complained about. These are the ones that have... No, you see, it's not about method. God is alive and is in control. And he's choosing men. He said, I sought for a man. God is still looking for people till today. And you think God looks for people by the amount of words that they speak? By the amount of Bible they claim to have read? No. Now he looks for them. It's how they make decisions at difficult times. Listen, that's what Jesus prayed for. A day will come in which they will look at, somebody will come, your father will call you, say, I always knew you were not normal. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, blessed are thee when they called you abnormal. Say amen. Amen. Isn't it Bible? I've been already before. I like one thing my mother always said. He said, you are the only one that understands your ways. Anytime I hear that thing, I say, blessed am I. Because what does she mean by you are the only one that understands your ways? I've given you a few examples in previous times. Like the one that said, your mates are building houses. I said, how many of them are teaching the way of success? That's the kind of answer I give my mother when issues like that come up. He said, you know, it's time now. People your age, you know, that bracket, they are building. I said, right now, this guy is teaching the way of success. I said, how many of them have written Great Faith Can Be Yours? He that believes. Here on purpose. The blessing. Church is key to destiny. How many of them have taught over 400 digitally archived messages? How many of them, I was counting, my friend of mine looked at our radio broadcast as of today, numbers over 350 that has gone on air. I said, how many of them? He said, you are the only one that stands your way. I said, very good. Now, I'm reading out something. So, blessed are you when you are considered abnormal for righteousness' sake. Because indeed, for yours is the right hand of God. Did you hear amen? For yours is the right hand of God. How God chooses people that he's seeking for are the kind of ways they make decisions. I was saying that a time will come when you will sit down like this. You are in a job that nobody likes, but you know there's purpose in it. No, imagine that you are teaching somewhere. You are affecting the lives of young children who otherwise... Is Idris Abdul Karim, they play in their compound. No, but look, their parents don't go to serious churches where they hear the word of God. But they come to your class every day. Then one day somebody says, this moment where they pay you, know, say not plenty. I found you another job. Where? You'll be secretary in one big company. Starting, you know, it's 150K. Forget that the word is secretary, but the truth is that it's a multinational. And you're excited. Hey, praise God. You know, that kind of one, you don't dance all night. God of miracles, now my papa. Hey. You know the way we do it is? Now, you don't dance well. Then you sleep all night. Suddenly you wake up during the night. You were dreaming. that those young boys and girls you were teaching, they were waving you bye-bye. And you realize that you couldn't go. So you wake up. Say, what is going on? What kind of nonsense dream is that? Devil, I rebuke in Jesus' name. Bam. Bam. You go back to sleep. Next time you go to school. No, you know, as they pay salary, like, look the small money when they give you. You look the one where your uncle just call you, say, may you can't collect. Let me tell you the truth. I won't lie to you. It's not an easy decision to make. Should I tell you the truth? Many have made the wrong decision and they have testified about it. Pastor, praise God with me. You know, it's good to be faithful in tithing and offering. I have been very faithful. From my 18,000 naira a month, this is my appointment letter. Oh, praise God! I told you people that the time of breakthrough has come. As you are saying that, you yourself, your conscience won't let you sleep. I told you that if Solomon had asked for everything and gotten it, I hope you know he would have given testimony. But God would have looked and said, that is far beneath my best for him. Listen, money is nothing. Are you getting my point? When you are making decisions, put it as a lowest, at the lowest point. A time under such circumstances, you will look. Ah! Maybe you have been taught. Because this may not be for everybody. Listen to me. It doesn't, I'm not saying if you're in that situation, you must go. Look, I'm not teaching you how to punish yourself. Because that's one mistake people make. They think that always look for the hard places in life. There are some hard places that are not your place. You hear what I said? There are people who deliberately, I remember when I was secondary school, because of holiness. My teacher had two sandals. One old, one new. He wore only the old one because of unholiness. Because the new one was shining too much. This was a secondary school teacher, educated, and he had eczema. You know what we call eczema commonly, you know? It's not the correct medical word, but that's what everybody calls it, all right? Eczema all over his body. The holiness say you shouldn't put sulfur ointment and remove it. Sulfur ointment, those would have been 2 naira or something. So I'm not preaching, you know, affliction of the flesh as a means of righteousness. God forbid I should do that. I don't preach such nonsense. All you have to do is look at me. You know I don't believe in it. I wear jewelry. Look, you can see. This is, I wear. If I come out my shirt, I have one on my... Now, I'm telling you. I am telling you the truth. I don't believe in trekking to a place I can drive to. When I did not have a car, I trekked. Now I have a car, I will not trek. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, no, you see, we need to say this. People think that you are preaching these old-time holiness messages. They always look for difficult things. No, but believe me, I have made decisions in previous times that people have looked at me. I remember one of my best friends. I said that, do you know people say, think I'm crazy because of this thing I did? You know what he said to me? He said, I am one of them. I think you're crazy. Because once I made a decision that dropped my income those days from 15,000 naira in a month to 5,000 naira in a month, he said, I am among those who think you don't decolo. Told me to my face. He's a friend. I'm not going to bring out an issue here, all right? That there are times you will make those decisions. Not because you want to punish yourself, but because you want to bless somebody else. You will look and say, if I live here, you will look at those children as an example and say, ah! The womb, you look, the Holy Spirit will let you know. If you leave, they are not going to amount to anything. And don't think, don't fool yourself that if you go, somebody else will come. There are times people, God can't find somebody else. People, indeed, like we say, people indeed are scarce, you know. You heard that expression before? People are hard to come by. Don't think that if I decide that I'm going to maybe Australia to go and enjoy myself, all right? That God will have found somebody to preach my message. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Believe me, you wouldn't have been here, and you probably would have been able to hear what I'm preaching. Doesn't mean somebody is not preaching it in Brazil. Maybe, but it's not going to be the one preaching in Nigeria. I hope you're getting the point I'm making. So it can happen that you look at the whole situation and say, God, for the sake of these children, I will manage my thinking. Call your uncle. Say, uncle, I'm not sure say I go fit. Maybe another time. And the man will look at you and say, and I always knew you were not normal. And he will be angry. And he will switch off the phone. And you know you can never call him for anything again. Because the day he tried to help you, you refuse his help. Listen, my brethren. Those are the things they call suffering for Christ. I will continue that discussion next time. Let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks.